From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
To dine in or to dine out.
Oh.
That is your choice on Easter.
Okay.
And that choice got someone a little riled up because a simple discussion about where you could get Easter brunch in the greater Rochester area has morphed into a discussion about family. More specifically, how whether or not you go out for Easter brunch is directly related to how much your family loves you.
Oh, okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago, we shared with you a story in the Democrat and Chronicle about places in Rochester taking reservations for all-you-can-eat Easter brunch on Easter Sunday. And we had this discussion to talk about what the cost of brunch is.
It's crazy.
Prices ran anywhere from $42 per person on the low end all the way up to $80 and $90 per person at places like the Woodcliff, the Lake House in Canandaigua, or the Strathallen Hotel. Over $400 for a family of four after tip for one meal on Easter.
And you haven't left town.
It's true. Unless you go to Canandaigua.
That's still kind of town.
Different city, bro.
Yeah.
Learn your geography. Sounded insane.
Mm.
And that was just your immediate family. Because, Tommy, we talked about how there are plenty of people who will bring aunts and uncles and cousins and grandmas and grandpas.
Yeah, it's like a whole crew.
You got it.
Yeah.
But that's not what one person took away from this conversation.
So they found out where the actual love is?
Well, they think so.
Okay.
Because it turns out, according to this man, whether or not you are going out for Easter brunch directly links to how much your family actually cares about you. Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck, letting you know that your grandma hates you. Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
When I hear that families are spending money to go to a restaurant to eat on Easter, it lets you know something about those people. No one in that family cares enough to make a holiday meal for anyone else. The holidays are for alone time with the people you love the most. Getting together, catching up, sharing whatever skills you have to make those few hours you get memorable. When I was growing up, my grandmother had us over on Easter. Then my mother did it. Now my sister hosts, and her daughter will eventually take it over. That tells me those women want their families to know that they love them enough to spend the time to prepare something with their own hands. Do the people who go to Easter brunch at a restaurant not understand that? Do the people in their lives just not want to give them that experience? Food equals love, and you can't get that same kind of love from a carving station or a big bin of eggs you're scooping yourself. I feel sad for these families, and after hearing you guys talk about brunch, it makes me appreciate even more what my family has and what other families don't. Sincerely, Rob.
It's not even hate. He's just being a dick.
Yes, he is.
Dick.
My family's better than your family.
What an awful thing to say about other people's families.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so this is definitely an old school letter.
Oh, yeah.
Your family doesn't love you unless they cook for you.
Well, it's funny, too, Kimmy. I don't know if you guys caught this. You only hear him talk about the women in his family making stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he mentions how the holidays are a chance for everyone in the family to share their skills, and then he rips off four or five women who have been doing all the work for everybody.
My mom, my grandma, my sister. I don't know why Southern all of a sudden.
Yeah, Billy doesn't sound Southern. He Billy Kidd did a great read there. Okay, but here's the thing.
What's up?
You know, we know doing this job, Tommy, that if Rob feels this way, odds are pretty good. He's not the only one.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Is Easter brunch at a restaurant a sign that the people in your family don't love you?
You're asking me?
I'm asking you.
No. Like, it's a nice day out.
No, I get that you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I know that you
I wouldn't say they love me any more or less.
So you're saying you don't believe that food equals love? Because that's pretty much the take from
No,
Rob
because
here.
You're getting food either way.
Okay.
You're not taking food away. I'm still getting food. I'm getting better food. Matter of fact, you found a better way for me to eat. Because
go ahead.
I'm going to say something. I have never had a great Easter brunch at somebody's house.
You're
it always
worst.
Sucks.
You're the
they
worst.
Try their asses off.
Uh-huh.
You got multiple pitchers of juices, and you got that cheap bottle of champagne to make you think you rich, but bitch, you ain't.
Why'd you call grandma a bitch?
Because all grandmothers be bitches.
No, it's not true. Okay.
And they pass that down.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying?
Like, no, I mean, I don't. I don't
like
know what you're
saying. That anticipation of going out to a brunch where you walk into a room where all this food is laid out, displayed beautifully. Or do I want to go to your grimy-ass kitchen?
We're having two separate arguments. Because
I don't find that love.
I agree with you that the food is better at a professional brunch.
Yeah.
These are chefs.
You're providing me with a better experience.
The question I am asking you is that, is someone in your family preparing you a meal? Does that equal love to you?
No, it does not. It means control.
Oh, my God.
Because granny bitch wants to control the situation.
Stop calling everyone's grandma's bitch.
But you know granny bitch.
My grandma's not a bitch.
Wants to put that thumb on everything and tell you how we praying, what we doing, what we eating, when we eating, TV off, phones away. It's all control, man. There ain't no love in that room.
Kimmy?
Yeah?
Is someone in your family preparing you a meal, is that a sign of love?
I mean, I guess like if you want, you're doing it because you want to spend time with the family. You know what I mean? Like you want people to come over, you want to host. But at the same time, like my grandma, my mom's mom, like she was great cook, you know, Italian, has all the family recipes. But she was even somebody who like, you know, after a while she was like, you know, if you could do this easier, like if you could buy the stuff, just buy it.
So she didn't love you either.
I don't think she really saw the value in spending all this time preparing stuff. If you know, we could spend more time together if people aren't stuck in the kitchen.
Love.
No, you just want better food. That's
yes,
what all this is. Okay. Look, we talked 2 weeks ago in this initial discussion when we were discussing the brunches about how Easter is a strange cooking holiday because there are families that will fight to the death for a chance to cook Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Right.
It gets passed down through generations. If you have married or divorced parents, I mean, odds are you have to make multiple stops on Christmas or Thanksgiving.
It blows.
Right? That stuff is set in stone.
Yeah.
But Easter is more laid back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a one-and-done holiday.
I also think it goes beyond the cooking most of the time, especially when it comes to holidays. It's more about, like, the host. Like, it's all-encompassing. It's the setup.
Okay.
It's the space you provide for everybody. It's the cooking. Like, it all goes together, and that's where the fight really is. Not so much over who's making what. It's more of, like, who's the better host? Who provides the most?
Okay. 252-WCMF, hate mail of the week. A guy named Rob writes us after our discussion about brunches and says that if you are going out to Easter brunch, it means your family doesn't love you because food equals love. They want to cook for you. And he talks about his grandmother and his mother and his sister and soon to be her daughter who cook for everybody because they care and that's what being family is. But, you know, in Rob's letter, there is something you never really think about.
What's that?
The family members who don't ever have to do the holidays. Because like we said, Rob talks about grandma, mom, sister, her kid that will take over Easter.
They're like indentured slaves.
And that's a similar story for Christmases and Thanksgivings and other homes.
They get dumped on.
Okay. But people who have that responsibility never have really had a family Christmas or Thanksgiving that everyone else has had.
No, they don't.
Think about the work that goes into those meals.
And it starts days before your ass even sits down to eat.
Yeah, you got it. You're prepping. You're shopping. You're up early cooking all morning long.
Yeah.
And even when folks come over.
You got to clean the house.
Those people are still cooking and getting stuff done.
Oh, yeah.
So while other folks are standing around talking, watching football, catching up, those folks are away in the kitchen.
You're a caterer.
They don't get the time with everyone.
No, they don't.
I mean, like, look, I don't disagree with the idea that food equals love. I get the idea that I want to make you a meal because I care about you. I get that. But for Rob here to argue that grandma doesn't love you, why would you not want grandma to also have that experience of being able to spend time with everybody?
Yeah, she's busting her ass. She's standing on her goddamn cankles all day with them crinkly-ass old lady dishpan hands.
Oh, now you're going to be sympathetic to the woman you called a bitch a second ago?
Well, now I know why she's bitching. She needs to get to the good feast
store. You also know the family members that will volunteer to help in the kitchen or do dishes because they don't want to spend time with the rest of the, or like that's their escape from some maybe family conversations that they don't want to have.
Amen, sister. Nothing worse now than like you go to those like newer built homes and they have like the open kitchen living room floor plan.
Yeah.
I can't, even I'm doing dishes, I still got to talk to my weird uncle. And if you are listening, one of my uncles, you know who you are. You know, now that we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Rob may also bring up an uncomfortable family question.
What's that?
Does grandma, ma, your wife, whoever is the primary cook in the home for holidays, do they prepare the meal because they want to show you love, like Rob claims? Or do they do it because they feel obligated? Like, Tommy, you say that you've made the argument that Christmas and Thanksgiving are lady Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Maybe you're right.
All right.
But if you were to give that person who cooks on those days a truth serum and say, hey, would you rather relax and get a day off? Are you sure you'd know the answer from my grandma, sister, wife?
Well, I'm trying to think of the people that are in my life that traditionally did it. I think they probably bitched the whole time, but they also like the control and the is this the right word? Adulation they would get. People would say
one of my favorite Mexican restaurants. Adulation.
I thought they closed that joint.
No, it's delicious. There's one in Pittsburgh.
You're also talking about women of a different generation that didn't have that at all and at home, so that was maybe a form of like control, I guess.
Okay. Well, control, but also like respect. Like, oh my God, they like here. Like, oh my God, this you do it every year. How do you do it? They drank all that in, man. It fed their chick ego.
Something's weird.
What's that?
I don't know. My headphones might be broken because all I'm hearing is Mike Mulay, Tommy's dad. She likes it. She likes doing the work. She likes it when I leave my stuff around and she cleans it. She told me, hey, honey, your ass is getting fat. Make me some ham. You hear yourself right now?
I'm just saying.
You sound like every boomer ass dude she loves doing it.
I'm just saying I had a sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And I always told you this woman was the greatest sister-in-law I ever had. Marriage didn't work out. Great sister-in-law.
Okay.
She was this woman that she wanted to do it. She was a control freak. She was great at it. But I also think she did not want to lose that control because everybody came to her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She was like the matriarch of the family. Is that the right word?
Sure. One of my second favorite Mexican restaurant.
But chicks get off on that stuff, man.
Oh, my God.
No, but everybody has something they get off on. Why can't you be the matriarch getting off chick? What's wrong with that?
Please talk, Kimmy.
Anyways, I also think the women you're describing, too, also the women you're describing did this because it was a holiday centered around religion.
Yes.
And that was part of your day. Like, that was all part of it.
Okay.
Whereas now I'm thinking it's more of an obligation because you're not even really doing it for the same reasons that maybe generations before you did it.
Okay.
Right, she was big Catholic.
Because, I don't know how many families that carried on that tradition still go to church, still do all, the actual Easter
tradition.
Sunday stuff.
Okay.
Traditions, Pat. Traditions.
What, you're Greek now?
Maybe. Not sure if this is the right religion at all.
Are you doing Fiddler on the Roof? Because that's Judaism. Passover's the week before. I think Passover's this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right. I have one question, then, to ask you to figure out if you're full of crap. Because your argument is women want to do this despite all the stress and time because they want to show value and love.
Mm-hmm.
There are things you are assigned to do in your house.
Yes.
You are assigned to make sure the gutters are clean.
Yep.
You are assigned to make sure that all the dog crap is picked up.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
All of these things.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. You enjoy doing that?
You know, I like getting out. You know, I like...
I'm going home, you lying-ass bitch. Goodbye.
I like...
Goodbye.
The time outside, the fresh air. You know, I get my steps in, Pat.
It's the same thing.
You like it when it's over and you feel accomplished. You don't like doing it, though.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that is your way you show value, love, to your wife, and you hate every second of it.
Not hate it. You make it sound like a drudgery.
He might not actually hate it.
I know he hates the cleaning of the gutters.
Okay,
I know
maybe
he
the gutters.
Well, I don't like the ladder.
Little man in the air. Little
you don't
man,
like the ladder either.
Tommy boy, flying through the air, all leafy free.
All right, I don't like it.
Okay, so there you go.
There you go what?
Why would she want to cook for 20 hours in a week.
Why is she lining up for it every time? And why?
Because if she don't do it, you sit here and you go, I don't want it, I don't want it. And the second she goes, I don't want to do it, that lazy bitch.
Well, she's been phoning it in lately.
Could also be she's doing it because she doesn't want somebody else to do it.
Oh, they don't want anybody. They
see
don't.
What you did?
Listen,
you know what?
There is a potato war in my family. Cheesy potato war. Like everybody has their own cheesy potatoes, and a couple do it better than the other, so there's always a fight over who's making it.
I would love to be
yes.
a victim of the cheesy potato.
I think it was on the History Channel.
We all benefit.
But she also don't want your ass in the kitchen, right? Like, if she's doing it in the kitchen, get out of the kitchen, let me do.
Have you ever offered?
You can't offer,
have
man.
You ever offered?
Of course I offer.
No, my ass!
I offer to stir, dish, whatever, man, wipe up, but they don't want it. They want to run the whole goddamn show, man.
Okay.
They're like Saddam Hussein with that gun in the air.
You're okay.
That ape.
In this discussion.
How do we get here?
We must eat now.
You've called
Don't eat.
You, in this discussion, you have called grandmothers bitches. You said they get off on the kitchen, and you compared them to Saddam Hussein.
With that gun. You must eat now.
Ladies, tell your friends. Listen to The Break Room, 6 to 10. I'll see you.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Kids will be kids, right?
Oh, sure.
There are some things kids can do, even though they're illegal.
But listen, we all pulled moves.
Caught him a break, right?
Yeah, come on.
This story is not one of those stories.
All right.
Because it doesn't matter how old you are, you should be smart enough to know that if you get caught doing this, you're going to be in serious trouble, and you would deserve that serious trouble.
Mm.
Don't look at me like
no,
that.
No, I haven't heard the story yet, so I'm holding judgment.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it.
Mm.
The story went down out in Wayne County. Saturday morning, authorities were called after residents woke up to find their home and cars covered in paint.
Paint?
More specifically, paint from a paintball gun.
Okay, because I got the splatter effect on there.
You got it.
Yeah.
After an investigation, police arrested an 18-year-old man who they say pulled that paintball trigger.
18 sounds about right.
Authorities say the incident happened around 1:30 in the morning. The 18-year-old has been charged with third-degree criminal tampering. He has a court date coming up. And, Tommy, I know you like to give kids a break for doing stupid stuff.
So he shot the cars and the house.
This is according to the police, yes.
All right.
Yes. So, like, I mean, you know, it's a kid doing stupid kid stuff.
All right, but that he's a little late in the kid game.
Oh!
A little late.
Oh!
Because he is 18.
Uh-huh.
Could be a senior in high school.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True.
And, Kimmy, I mean, let's not forget, I mean, I know a guy who was late in the kid game who was drunkenly firing Roman candles at his friend.
After his day at the water park.
In jean shorts, by the way. He wore jean shorts to the water park. How old were you when you did that?
I was a kid. Jesus Christ, I couldn't have been more than 32.
Tommy,
what?
Do you think this 18-year-old should get a slap on the wrist? Or be held to the highest degree of the law for what he's accused of doing.
I mean, he did a dumb thing. Okay. And he could have been high or partying or drinking.
What? That makes it better?
I don't know.
No, but I mean, come on, man. We've all done this crap.
Oh, I love how the prosecution says you should be charged. The defense? Come on, man. Yeah. Your Honor, come on!
I don't want to see a young man's life ruined over some stupid prank.
Does it matter why he did it? Like, would that make a difference? Because he obviously, targeted this house and car for a reason, I'm guessing.
Well, no, he's going to Tommy's going to share with us information about the story that he literally just found out happened.
Well, no, you're asking me if he meant it.
If there was an 18-year-old, is
Revengeant like revenge?
I don't know.
Kimmy, you know that great Leo DiCaprio movie, The Revengeant?
Or he was just jackassing.
Well, I'm asking, if you saw an 18-year-old kid that targeted one house and one car. And for a specific reason, would that make a difference why they chose to do that or
what
that
the motivation was?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man. Let's say it's over a chick.
Okay, again, it's total hypothetical.
No, but
I would think
she's asking.
Okay. Right.
Let's say it was over a chick,
okay.
Or he was just jackassing.
Uh-huh.
You know,
but jackassing, I would think you're hitting a bunch of houses. I don't know.
Or maybe the dude owes you money. Or you know,
does that make it better?
You had a beef with a guy.
So you paintballed his house and car, his family's house and car, his parents' house and car.
I don't think you start off paintballing everything. But I think once you get going, you're having too much fun. Once you see that first splatter on a windshield, you're just going for it, man.
All right, the phone number.
You get a full clip.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. This guy, if he is guilty of the accusations of paintballing this house and car at 1:30 in the morning in Wayne County, should be charged to the fullest extent of the law.
Do you mean like jail time?
Oh, well, look, whatever the maximum punishment is for this charge, and I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
It is time to come up with a new rule for charging teenagers with crime, and I've worked out the math equation.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Right.
Age, they are at the time of the crime, times the level of stupidity, numbers 1 through 10. And the higher the number, the more severe they should be punished. Anything over 150 in this math equation, they should be punished to the furthest extent of the law. For example, let's use it here.
Right.
18 is on the high end, like
you said. Yeah, you're on the end of your rope there.
Okay, and I would argue that spraying paintballs at a car at home at 1:30 in the morning is a 10 out of 10 and stupid. Is that fair?
Yes, of course. Okay. Yes.
So
we're not talking about severity of the crime. We're talking about stupidity of the crime.
Straight up stupidity. Because we're talking kids' crimes. Because, look, if somebody gets assaulted and really hurt, that's not a kid's crime anymore. Obviously. That's a legitimate crime.
Okay, so you're saying mischief.
So, like, there was no way he wasn't going to get caught. Not to mention he's the only one being charged, so it's not like it's a peer pressure situation here, right? So with our new math equation, 18 for the age times 10 for the stupidity, that's at 180. That is over 150. Charge him.
Can we add one more
charge him.
Category into that?
Sure.
Damage caused.
Ooh.
A lot of that can be cleaned up with a power
wash. Well, I don't know. Does it leave dents in the car and house and like siding or whatever the house is made of?
You sound like me. I'm going to put dents in
the siding. Well, I'm asking, though, because like the cost of what it's going to take to fix whatever they broke or ruined. Like, I would think like that would also kind of factor into how much trouble they're in.
Can you break a window with paintballs?
No, because you can shoot people with a paintball.
Yeah, I don't know. You can probably turn it up or turn it down. I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't played paintball since I was like 16. And it hurt. Why do people play paintball?
I don't know.
I went out one time. Ow, 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 ow. Stop. Stop it. Okay, look, I would love to factor that equation into the math, but we're bad at math.
Okay,
so
true.
Anything
yeah,
more
I don't
than
know
two
how to add that in now.
Or division would have become. The kid deserves to be punished. The fact that he can be charged as an adult based on his age.
But I don't want this to chase him into adulthood.
It's already going to.
And I feel bad for the kid.
Okay.
And I know he did bad. But, you know, I mean, your brains are a little soft still at 18. And, you know, you're getting there, but, you know, sometimes you think you're bigger than you is.
Yeah, so show him he ain't bigger than he is.
All right, but are you lock him up?
No, I'm not saying lock. Look, I don't think you're getting locked up for criminal mischief. I'm saying.
Do you want him to have a police record?
Well, he's going to. He's 18 if he's convicted of the crime.
Yeah.
He's an adult.
Right.
Should have thought about that before you whipped out your paintball gun there, smart guy. Smart guy.
Imagine having to explain that potentially to an employer later in life. Well, I took my anger out with my paintball gun on a car.
Well, actually, our boss just wrote us. They want to hire him at CMM. 252 WCMF. We're talking about this 18-year-old kid out in Wayne County. Police say that at 1:30 in the morning, he shot up a house and car with paintballs. The family woke up to find it. He has been arrested, charged with third-degree criminal tampering. Has a court date coming up, but I am introducing a new math equation on how we treat kids being punished. The age of the person, and then you multiply it by the 1 to 10 level of stupidity. Anything over 150, charge them to the fullest extent of the law. And if you look at other situations, the math equation works perfectly. Stay with me here.
I'm listening.
Let's say you got a couple of 15-year-olds fighting.
All right.
Right? On a scale of 1 to 10, how stupid is that?
That's just not much.
4?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. 15 times 4, that's 70. No arrest.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. Fair? Right. You find a bunch of 16-year-old kids drinking illegally. Peer pressure happens. What would you give that?
We all did it.
What's drinking underage on a stupidity level?
That's a two-banger.
Okay. So that's a 32.
Low.
No
Super
arrest.
Low.
It's a bulletproof plan.
All right.
The older you are, the more you should be held responsible for the stupidity you did. And I don't think there's anything stupider than 1:30 in the morning paintballing.
Can we factor in the fun of the...
No! No! You shouldn't be able to do illegal things because it's fun.
Well, that's what those are the funnest.
I would have a ton of fun punching you in the face most mornings. You want to put that as a math equation? 38 times one punch in the face? 252 WCMF. Let's talk to Robin. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What do you got for us?
Hey, I think kids, I don't see him doing any time is going to help. I'd like to see him like a parole thing, and you have to get a job, and you have to pay for what you did.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Look, in all, I'm talking about charge him to the fullest extent of the charge. I don't think you're going to jail on third-degree criminal mischief, so that wouldn't even factor in here, right? But, like, something like community service would be a wake-up call for an 18-year-old kid.
Go pick up trash on the side of the road.
Something like that,
okay.
Yeah, and I'd like to see him get a job and pay for the damage he caused, because I think sometimes when you hit people in their pocket, kid has to work full-time, basically, and then maybe put college off for a year while he pays it back, maybe it would hit home.
No, Robin, I hear you. If I own a business, the first guy I want to hire is an 18-year-old who's accused of shooting paintballs at a house and car at 1:30 in the morning.
Well, he's hopefully, we're hoping that he's in enough trouble that he learns at least from that.
Robin,
you know what I mean?
Would you hire this kid if you owned a business?
It depends what kind of a business. Like, say I owned a landscaping business where you had to go out, which I do landscaping, and go out and bust your butt, you know, every day out in the heat and work really hard. Yeah, I think it can be a little bit humbling for these kids.
All right, Robin, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. I thought she was going to say, let's say I own a paintball store.
Yes.
In which case, yes, I'm hiring this kid. He's got an expertise in that level. 252 WCMF, let's talk to James. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
What up?
So, back in the day, probably 13, 14 years old, I lived out in the Hilton, Greece area.
Ooh,
and we used to paintball cars at night from inside the woods.
What a dick. Why are you such a dick?
Like as they were driving by, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But we used to do it with slingshots.
God damn, man.
Because the paintball gun was kind of loud. I mean, obviously, you guys, you know how loud a paintball gun is when you're rattling off some rounds, right?
Yeah.
So, slingshots way quieter. So, we slingshotted and shot some paintballs at this guy's truck that went by. And this dude jacks the brakes. And this is the middle of the night, like 10 o'clock at night. And he had a spotlight like a cop does on the side of the car. And he was pointing through the woods. And we all laid down. And we were actually smart enough to wear camouflage while we were doing
this. Well,
we're laying in the woods, camoed, just buried our faces. He must have sat there for probably a half an hour, going up and down, you know, back and forth, up and down the road, real slow, spotlighting in the woods. Finally, he leaves. So that kind of rattled us that night. The next night, we go out.
Didn't rattle you that much, James.
So much, he went back out again. Go ahead, James. I'm sorry.
We go out the next night, and I had this stupid friend, Chris. I mean, he was obnoxious. And he's like, dude, let's go down around the corner, you know, from your house and walk over in that housing track. And he goes, let's shoot some signs and things, whatever, street signs. Oh, okay, whatever. So we paintballed some signs and whatever. Well, as we're walking back, there's this guy's house right on the, we lived on like a creek, and he had a nice patio, bay window on the back of his house. Doesn't my buddy just start splatballing this guy's bay window in the back of his house at 10 o'clock at night? So I'm like, dude, we go running down the road, and we're out at the end of my driveway. I don't know where my parents were. It didn't even matter. They didn't know what was going on. And we're standing there. We had a streetlight on the corner. We see this silhouette coming down the road. And we're like, what is that coming down the road? You can see just the silhouette from the streetlight. The dude that we paintballed his windows came walking down the road trying to catch us. And we all went different directions into the woods, all different directions. He hangs out by the little bus stop shed thing that kids hang out in, you know, waiting for their bus.
Sure.
We had a long driveway. We come out thinking he's gone, and he busts us. He busts all three of us? Yeah, three of us.
All right, so I'm sorry. It's been like 4 minutes. Yeah. What ended up happening, James? What ended up happening?
My buddy confesses that it was us, and he told the guy that my dad was a fireman, and he'd be over with the truck the next day to spray the freaking windows down.
Okay.
Right.
How'd that work out?
The guy bought it, and we never got in trouble.
Well, okay, James. James, thanks for the call, buddy.
Out.
Have a good rest of the day.
Just took us 5 minutes.
Probably went to high
there.
School with James.
You're probably right.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
What the hell happened?
What do you mean?
This is the playground. It has been the playground for adults in America, really, worldwide.
Well, yeah, as I'm saying, globally.
Yeah, for a long time.
It's all. It's very Americana.
Yes, it is.
Only in America, baby.
Well, then why the hell aren't people going anymore?
When did this start?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. The number of people going to Las Vegas is way down. From the beginning of the year till now, flights flying into Vegas, or bookings, are down 20%.
Damn.
Hotel occupancy is down. The month of February, I guess, was particularly bad for tourism in Vegas. And folks in Vegas, folks that own businesses, are starting to sound the alarm.
But are they saying, are they hearing any rumors from people?
Don't know why. They're just as stymied as you and I.
Because they just built, I mean, you've been there, you just went.
Last year.
But your old man just went.
He did. He said it was pretty packed, but it was also NCAA tournament time, so I don't know if that also factored in.
Here's the thing.
I also don't know what packed is,
They just built that new big eyeball.
Yeah, the eyeball. Maybe everyone's in the eyeball. That's why they can't see him.
Oh, damn it.
Also, it's possible Kimmy goes to Vegas. Nobody wants to go anymore.
Maybe I ruined it for everybody.
So they're floating three potential theories as to why Vegas tourism down. One, no money to do it.
Right. But gambling like that has always been bulletproof.
It's not just gambling. Vegas as a city is expensive because there are people that go just to gamble. There are also people like your husband's not a gambler.
He took a big gamble. If he's there, he will. You know what
I
mean?
But I'm saying he's not going to Vegas to gamble.
No, there'd have to be other entertainment purposes.
But hotels are expensive. Tickets to shows are expensive. Tickets to sporting events are expensive, which exist out there now. Right. Dinner is expensive. Like, gone are the days of the $2.99 all-you-can-eat buffet.
But shouldn't that affect everything? Cruise ships, Miami, all the hot spots?
It's possible that's also being affected.
We're all down?
I mean, I don't know.
All right, so that's one of the money.
Okay. Two, the other theory, legal gambling in other places is cutting Vegas out.
But that's been around, again, for 20 years, you've had gambling all over.
But more and more places, and there's more. It's like the access to it has expanded.
Right.
Let's just use us, for example, right? It was just a couple
online
years.
Online gambling.
Well, okay, so just a couple years ago, we could start doing sports bets on our phone. We're a 30-minute drive in either direction for slots. I'm a 45-minute drive east for card and table games, an hour and a half towards Turning Stone the other way, or west. You get what I'm saying.
All right, so too many options for gambling.
I don't need to fly to Vegas to gamble anymore.
All right.
And the third theory is that Vegas is just lame now. The 35 and under crowd.
Man, all that fun stuff they got.
Well, it's fun to you. I mean, people that are under 35, what's there for them?
I mean, you got football now.
Okay,
you
got football.
You're going to get baseball soon.
And you're going to get basketball.
You are, and you got hockey. Look, you got the four major sports.
Yeah, I forgot about hockey.
You've got NASCAR runs there now, Formula One's there now.
But
all that entertainment, that is the entertainment too old?
But let's talk about that. I mean, think about the bands that are in residency. I know your husband went to see
it's for an older crowd.
Exactly.
Right? So none of the young
So one of the big acts coming to that sphere soon is the Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
Which would... I know it's an older crowd.
I don't want to hurt you. It's going to hurt you.
No. I understand. No. I'm not saying it's for a younger crowd, but I'm saying like they're trying to bring in a different crowd, I would guess, by that type of... Like having that type of residency there.
Okay. But I mean, I don't know. Is a crowd that goes to see Celine Dion and the Backstreet Boys that much different?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I look at
it's a different show.
So you think the acts are too old too?
Well, I mean, possibly.
So are they? You thinking they're not? I never thought Vegas for somebody in their 20s.
Oh no! Like when I was a kid, like Vegas was like that's where you wanted to be, man. Like
you're thinking that's not the case anymore?
I don't know, man. Like
where the lame factor comes in.
If we look at what kids are into these days, right? Is it gambling? I mean, sports gambling, yes. But
you did tell me that kids don't party like they used to.
Drinking is down.
Right. So if you're not drinking and they're not having sex, and I know, but Vegas was always a sexy town. The allure was prostitution, strippers, a lot of fun.
You're saying what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas anymore.
And you don't care. So maybe that's part of it, too. They just don't party. That's not how they party anymore.
And look, as we go down these theories.
They're not doing drugs.
It could be a combination of all three of these things that it's just creating, like, a perfect storm. But, like,
that's bad.
I don't know, like, I can't think of what the draw would be for somebody younger to go to Vegas. And if I'm wrong, tell me, 252-WCMF.
Well, I do think it's a place where there's something for everybody. I mean, the amount of families I saw, people pushing strollers around.
That makes it lame. to a young person. I'm not partying. I don't want to see strollers.
But wouldn't you rather have family people, like families going? You're going to make more money off of stuff like that.
No, but to Pat's point, why if it's got a lame factor, that would be a lame factor. Now it's like I'm at Disney World or I'm at Epcot.
Sure, but you're also bringing in more people.
Yeah.
But who's spending more money?
Right.
Probably somebody with a family.
But can they gamble as much?
I don't know.
I mean, what am I going to do, hold my baby at the slots?
Yeah, true.
Dad can't sneak off for a hooker.
Dad.
You know he wants to.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how are you, buddy?
Hey, my old lady used to live in Reno for almost 30 years, and I always used to hear the stories about Reno and Las Vegas and how cheap it was and how easy it was to do things there. But when I went in 2022, I was very surprised by a number of things. Number one, the cost of everything. Everything is super expensive. You've already said it, the days of the $2.99 buffets, hotels for very cheap, unless you spend a lot of money in the casino, are pretty much gone. Kimmy just said about the families. I don't know how any family goes there because of the cost. I did see a lot of families walking around. So
selling
the image of Las Vegas that I had in my head of like Sin City, it's not there. I would have a hard time distinguishing between that and Disney World, you know, less the rides that are there.
Okay.
And three, late last year and early this year, there were three separate strikes of service workers in the Las Vegas area at different casinos because of unionization and bad pay. So I wonder if that has something to do with unavailability of hotel rooms and service not being there.
There you go. See? Now we're learning about it.
Yeah, look at that.
Here comes Jeremy with the labor information.
Well, they
actual
gotta fix
information.
This.
They got to fix this?
Bro, look, so goes Vegas. So goes the country.
Here comes 1% Tommy again. Break those unions! Break them!
Vegas is the heartbeat of this country.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, Jeremy, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Bye,
there's
Dave.
Nothing more American than Las Vegas.
There's nothing more American than a hotel named Paris with a fake Eiffel Tower.
Only us can create fake Paris.
No, because China has fake cities.
After we did it. It's the same way we went to the moon. Now everybody else wants to go to the moon. We did Vegas before everybody else. Now everybody wants to copy Vegas.
What's Macau? I mean,
Macau is after Vegas. It all started in Las Vegas.
But the point, if you don't know, Macau is like a tourist city outside of Hong Kong?
Yeah, so it's another island where a lot of Asian people gamble. It's basically another Vegas.
I mean, yeah, we said Hong Kong. You didn't have to throw the Asian part in there.
Well, I mean, it was designed.
Yeah, it's in Hong Kong. A lot of Dutch people heading down to gamble.
But a lot of Chinese people like to gamble.
It is.
That's where they go.
No, but what I'm getting at, I'm sorry, Kimmy. What I'm getting at is, okay, there's lots of places that invented something, and then other places take it and improve it. And, like, they brought up the international gambling scene and how Macau has become a place where Europeans and Asian folks are flocking to instead of Vegas. Like,
all right, so they're losing the high-enders to this. All right. Yeah.
But it's weird, though, because when we were there, like, the amount of, like, new hotels popping up everywhere, like, the amount of new construction.
Really?
It was, you know, it's just weird.
I mean, just because they're getting lent money doesn't mean they're going to make it back.
I mean, they built the Sphere. I mean, there's so much, like, new stuff, like the baseball stadium.
That's also going to be a mistake. Mark my words, the A's have made a mistake.
Why?
Well, let's see. They got to play 2 years in Sacramento.
Oh.
In a minor league ballpark. And it's been a fight to get the state. Like, the city all of a sudden was like, we don't want you. For those who don't know, the Oakland A's no longer play in Oakland. They're moving to Vegas, but the stadium's not ready, so they have to play 2 years in a minor league ballpark in Sacramento, California.
But they're also getting basketball, right?
And it's not official, but yeah, they'll be getting basketball.
And they got a hockey.
Yeah.
They got a hockey game.
Sure. But again, that's 100 events a year right now?
Yeah, but it's still a more draw. I mean, there's 20, like, it's got everything.
Okay, you're arguing with numbers. What do you want me to do?
I know. I feel bad for Las Vegas.
Yeah, what do they ever do to anybody? 252-WCMF again. For the beginning of the year, flights to Vegas down 20%. They're seeing less money spent in hotels, less money spent in casinos, and folks are now starting to worry. Vegas is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Claudette will wrap it up. Hello, Claudette.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
What do you got?
We just came back from Vegas a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I heard you out there. Hit me.
I noticed myself that... Not a big crowd like it was the last time we went. But my boyfriend has only been there. This was his second time. So he wanted to go again. He booked 6 days, which for me I think is way too much.
Holy crap,
that
6 days in Vegas?
That is a lot of days.
How did
in Vegas.
You survive?
Yeah. So we did something every single day, walked up and down, did a couple Broadway shows. We went to a Motown show. We also went to see Rod Stewart. So there's a lot to do, but the crowds definitely are lower this time when we went. And also the weather was...
Whoa! All right, Claudette. Okay. All right, Claudette, thanks for the call. I got to let you go. Kurt, thank you, Claudette. Have a good rest of the day. You heard her, man.
Right.
She got to go see a Motown review and Rod Stewart. What 20-something wouldn't want that?
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.